I guess I'm all set up now. Well, I want to begin by thanking you, brethren, for the opportunity to come and worship with you, and by God's help to even preach the Word of God to you. I bring you greetings from Grace Reformed Baptist Church of the greater Newark area. Now, several months ago, I preached on the I Ams of Jesus Christ. Given consideration of what to bring to you, brethren, today, I decided that this subject is always timely and helpful for the growth and the walk of the brethren and for the strengthening of the church. And so I believe, too, at this time, you can really have that greater look at the Lord Jesus Christ and see what he says to us, especially in these I Ams. Now, there are 14 texts in the Bible that I Am is spoken by Jesus Christ. 7 are direct statements made by Jesus explaining who he is. 5 are statements referring to Jesus, and 2 are describing him in his risen glory in the book of the Revelation. The 7 have been noted as the I Ams of Jesus. In these I Ams, he is declaring his nature and what we must do and understand who Christ is as the person who come down from heaven to give life to his people. These I Am statements are only found in the Gospel of John, and they teach us about the reality of the spiritual and divine nature of Jesus Christ. Furthermore, these I Am statements clearly teach Jesus' work of salvation in the heart of the life of his people. The first I Am statement we find in John's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 35. If you turn there with me, we will begin looking at that. John, chapter 6, and verse 35. And I'll just read the statement to you, and then we'll see how it comes to us in the context of this very passage. Verse 35, it reads, Jesus said to them, I am the bread. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. Jesus here mentions that he is the bread of life. In order to understand the doctrine that Jesus is teaching here, we must consider the context. And John does this in chapter 6. He begins with the feeding of the 5,000. We will not look at that, but those in verses 1 and chapter 6 and on down to verse 13. This section ends with verse 14. Therefore, when the people saw the sign of which he had performed, they said, truly, this is the prophet who is to come into the world. In verse 15, we have Jesus saying, so Jesus perceived that they were intending to come and take him by force to make him king. He withdrew again to the mountain by himself alone. Then verses 16 and 25 is the account of the disciples crossing the sea to getting caught in a storm, and Jesus came walking on the water. The next day, the crowd found him and asked him, Rabbi, when did you get here? In verses 26 to 34, the discussion between Jesus and the people, and Jesus tells them that they were only seeking him because they ate and were filled. And notice in verse 27, Jesus says here, do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you, for on him the Father God has set his seal. So Jesus is telling to them that get away from the whole idea of what you receive, even the glory that you receive from me, and feeding this group of people. The conversation then leads to the miracles of God feeding the Israelites in the wilderness. Verse 31, our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread out of heaven to eat. And Jesus' answer is seen in verses 32 and 33. Jesus then said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread out of heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread out of heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven and gives light to the world. And then notice what would happen from that. They had some reply to give to the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 34, then they said to him, Lord, always give us this bread. Then Jesus replies in verse 35, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. And here the Lord Jesus Christ has begun now to tell them what they need to know and to understand. But there's a lot that he says here that goes on as what he was teaching these particular people. Remember back in verses 26 to 34 is a discussion between Jesus and the people. And Jesus tells them that they were only seeking him because they ate the bread. They had their bellies fulfilled. They had things that gave them to make them feel good in this life. And that's the only thing that they were looking for. But in verse 27, he says, do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. The conversation then leads to the miracles of God feeding the Israelites in the wilderness. And as I mentioned to you, and so they say to him, our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread out of heaven. But notice Jesus answers what I mentioned to you a little earlier. And if you look again at him, we can see what he says. He says here, truly, truly, I say to you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread out of heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread out of heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world. Now, no doubt these people were thinking at this time, what is more gracious and gorgeous than Moses? And I see we were there in the wilderness with him, our people, and God came to them. And every morning they woke up, they had bread there and they could eat. What could be more gracious than that? But Jesus is telling them that he says, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. This verse is Jesus' first mention to the people, the request, Lord, always give us this bread. And this he is saying, first of all, I am that bread that you need. And Jesus goes into this, and what we see when he's saying here, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. We first of all begin with the phrase, I am the bread. It is clear from the context what it was that brought this first I am from the Lord Jesus Christ. The statement is two words here. I am. And in the Hebrew, it is actually almost like saying, I am I, or I am who I am, which takes us back to Moses at the burning bush in Exodus 3 and 13. Moses responded to God when God told him to go tell the people who sent you. And then Moses says, now they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say? This is Moses asking God. And God said to him, I am who I am has sent me to you. This form means I have always been. Jesus is saying, I am. I have always been. Always been there. Therefore, Jesus is telling them he has always existed. Even as God is saying here. And he says, I am the bread of life. Bread, we know that's no big word. We have to really try to understand, does it? This word is used meaning actual bread. if you slice a bread, a loaf of bread, anything as of sustenance, health, or the feeding, that is used this way. You're eating bread, you could say, you're eating that which is given you, that sustenance that you need. Second way it's used in a more metaphorical way, meaning spiritual nourishment, referring to the feeding of the soul of the Christian. It is compared to God feeding the children of Israel in Exodus 16 and 4. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day." Psalm 78 and 24. He rained down manna upon them to eat and gave them food from heaven. Jesus is saying that he is the bread now. Look back at Israel's whole existence and who they are and how God has been with them and what God has done with them. Jesus says, now, you're going to have to look at a new bread now. I am, he's saying. He said here that what you need to understand is that this bread now that you need will come, and it will come from me. And he says, I am the bread of life. What do you mean by the word life here? Well, it has the following meaning. First of all, human life, or just basically existence, that is something that has life. It can mean a manner of life, your conduct, how you live, what kind of person you are, your moral sense and how you live before people. And the third use of it is a godly life. A blessed life, spiritual life, being indwelled by God, eternal life is what he said. The use of the word here is stating that Jesus is the cause or giver of eternal life. I am the bread of life. Remember John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. In John 17:3, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. The life spoken of by Jesus is life that will never end. Jesus existed from the beginning and will exist for all eternity. So that the life he gives is eternal life. No end to that life. When Jesus says, I am the bread of life, we must understand that these words express the very idea, not of physical nourishment. It becomes clear that Jesus is speaking of a bread that he supplies eternal life and nourishment for the soul. For Jesus promised with this, I am the bread of life. Remember the statement he made in 6:22 and 23. Notice what he says there, 32 and 33 rather. Truly, truly, I say to you, Moses, who was given you the bread out of heaven, but it is my Father, who gives you the true bread out of heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world. Gives life to the world. They begged for that bread. And they said, well, Lord, give us this bread. And here, what Jesus says, he says, I am that bread. What he does is give spiritual life to those who he come to save. He came to save his people, his own people, and he's going to give spiritual life to them. He is saying, I am the one who gives and sustains life. He explains the yearning in the soul of the searcher who will has two life sustaining needs. We know this is fine with food. A man, a woman, child gets hungry and they need something to eat, or they may get thirsty and they need a drink. And Jesus says in the spiritual aspect, there's the same kind of needs in the soul. He has come that we may not hunger, is what he's saying. It says, comes, I come. And come being here, this word has two, it means to follow, or figuratively, to become the follower or disciple of God. Matthew 20:16-24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Jesus says, he who comes to me. He's saying it's not like this crowd of people there. They're running around, want to find out. When he left that night and they wanted to make him a king, he went away. And they said the next, how did you get here? Jesus is saying, here he is the one who makes it clear that what he promises is a life that will meet every spiritual need of the Christian. The life starts with going to Jesus Christ. I am the bread of life. And those who go to him, he says, they will not hunger. Well, what does he say? In our passage, hunger is not speaking of the food for the body or the physical life. Here, something other than literal food is what Jesus is speaking for, and something other than literal food is what we Christians long for. Jesus tells us that this is a matter of what you and I need. He says in Matthew 5:6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. In a spiritual nourishment, it is a spiritual nourishment that satisfies the soul. But we know that Jesus is concerned more about the soul than about the body. And he's saying that clearly there. He said, those who come to me will not hunger. But he also says, he who comes to me will not thirst either. At this point, we know that he is speaking of spiritual food, spiritual hunger. The Christian needs spiritual food that supplies or satisfies the soul and aids in the spiritual growth, which is supplied by Jesus Christ in a true relationship with him. He says, comes to me. Here it speaks of the spiritual relationship between Jesus and his patient, the people he guides and brings to himself. It is speaking about the Christian, the one who comes. How do he come to Christ? Well, he leaves all and he follows Christ. He turns away from everything. There were those things in his life that were more important, but now they become secondary. He lives to Christ. He comes. Comes here, and he comes because it's a spiritual connection he has with Christ, as indicated, a spiritual hunger that needs to be filled. And he who believes in me, he says, will never thirst. The same idea is expressed concerning thirst. Believes in me. This word indicates faith and trust. It means to be persuaded about Jesus and who he is. He who believes in me, he said. Here this word points to Messiah, the biblical teaching about Jesus Christ. It means that it believes that he is the Messiah, the Son of God. What did the scripture says about him? What is it all the teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ? Is he just a man in history? And we looked at him and we said he was born as those who know not Christ Jesus and will not follow the Christian religion. They said that's just another religion. It's nothing. No, but believing in him, who he really is. He who believes in me. It is true faith in Jesus he's speaking about. The kind of faith Peter spoke of in John 6:69. We have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. So believes those who will be taught by the Holy Spirit who Jesus is, and they are the ones that we're speaking of who will put all their trust in him, and they will have their spiritual thirst satisfied. There is no doubt this kind of faith, all that it is that there is truth and the focus is on upon. There's no doubt in the Christian's mind. There's no doubt in anyone's mind that Jesus is real and he's the one who's came. He's the one who's given life and he is the one who I am connected to. All is focused upon Jesus and all hope is in him. But he says something else in that verse. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he will who believes in me will never thirst. Will never thirst. We know now again, he's not talking about having a dry throat while you're in the desert and you're looking for something to drink. He's speaking of something deeper than that. Thirst here is not speaking of water, but it's speaking of a strong desire in the soul. Figuratively speaking of those who find themselves fulfilling their need in the soul on Jesus Christ. Matthew 5 and 6. Where Jesus said, speaking of the blessed ones who seek after righteousness, he says, they shall be satisfied. In these last two statements, Jesus makes it clear that he gives life that will completely satisfy. Christ says that he is the true provider and satisfier of spiritual life. He is teaching that what man must seek, and that is life in Jesus Christ. In all the setting, it shows that all they wanted with the people of that day was to have something that will fulfill some kind of physical need for here and now. But he says, no, you need to look past that. And I've come, and this is the reason you have to see and understand who I am. All the sinner needs for salvation is Jesus Christ. The sinner must see his dead, corrupt state in order to go and find and lay hold of Jesus Christ. He must be aware of his lost condition. How many in the world today right now, they tell you, well, I don't need Jesus. I don't need God. They're not aware of their lost condition. They would not be, and on their own, they will never come to the place of being aware of their condition. The sinner must realize that his spiritual life will never be satisfied by religion. One of the most horrible things that has taken place, not only in our day now, but you can go back decades or so, where there were those who came inside and they thought in the Christian faith, and what they do, they just actually took some of the doctrines of the Christian faith, and then now they put up a new Jesus that is nothing like the Jesus in the Bible. And they're telling you that's the Jesus you should follow. But Jesus says he and who he is clear, and you must see and understand. He says, I am the bread of life. The bread of life. Now, as we look at this, we should think about one thing. What does bread do? It feeds, doesn't it? It feeds the nourishing body that what it needs. It gives to those that the ones who are now hungry, they're going to eat on something. But when Jesus says, I am the bread of life, we know he's not talking about physical food, is he? But he's talking about something else. He's talking about a food that you and I need in order to grow spiritually. You and I need to come to Christ, he's saying. And this is the very thing we know to understand. Notice that you still have your Bibles open as this very conversation goes on. And notice in verse 51. And Jesus now, the Jews are grumbling and coming at him, and he's talking to them, and he's basically telling who he is. But then he says in verse 51, he says, I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread also which I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. And what kind of response would you get from that? What would you expect from that? Then the Jews began to argue and with one another, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? No spiritual light, no understanding. Soul is dark and dead. And Jesus is saying here, it's him that you must eat. And these are some powerful words, aren't they? But what is Christ saying when he says that? He's saying that you must take me in. And we know he's not talking about in a physical sense now. It's spiritually. You and I must come and feed upon Christ. It's what he's saying. He's saying here, this is what we need to do. The person of Christ. Salvation is in him and him alone. With this first I am, Christ Jesus is saying or presenting himself as the only way anyone can obtain to eternal life. How are you going to get it? You got to come to Jesus. Many religions out there, and they're telling you how you can have a good life afterwards. But most of them is most basically focused upon good life now. There's some who call themselves Christians, and they talk about how you're going to have your best life now. But they have nothing to say to you about what's going to happen afterwards. He teaches that there must be a deep, true relationship with him that provides the spiritual life that he gives to those he came to save. And oh, dear people, this is where we find ourselves looking. And this is what do we have to say to ourselves. What is Jesus saying here? Now, a lot of people get lost up in all the weeds and say it's all twisted up. I am the bread of life. Who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. I'm lost with all that. But you and I know what he's saying. We know that he's saying, and he mentions it, that we must go to him. But notice how he continues on with this whole thought. Look at verse 51 and down to... And further down, I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. And the bread also which I give for the life of the world is my flesh. Wow, what is he talking about? You imagine the crowd could probably say that. But what Jesus is saying here, there's no way you and I, no Christian will have any life at all unless we consume Christ. And he's saying that. For the life of the world is my flesh. Christ is saying the spiritual life that we have with him is so tied up to him that he is the one that is feeding. And now we know what he says and what he's going to go on to when he mentions his flesh. Remember in verse 52, the Jews began to argue with one another, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? That's a legitimate question, isn't it? If I stood up here and say, you have life with me, but you got to eat my flesh. You say, well, what's wrong with that man? Well, darkened, spiritually dead, they thought the same way. And then Jesus responds in verse 33, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in yourself. Well, that didn't explain anything. That made it a little worse, didn't it? That made them now, they're scratching their heads even harder. Then he says in verse 54, he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who eats me, he also lives because of me. Now you and I know that Jesus is speaking here in spiritual terms. And he's saying to us is that we're going to have this close connection with Jesus Christ. A connection which causes that we have a spiritual hungering and a thirsting. And this spiritual hunger and a thirsting in the soul needs to be filled. Jesus is teaching us that we will survive daily food. He's not teaching us that we need daily food and drink here for physical life, we do. But what we need now is spiritual food and drink for our spiritual lives. And we can receive that spiritual food from Jesus Christ alone. How many times have you sat down, read your Bible, and you believe, you know, I'm going to learn something from the scriptures here. And basically you put it all up in the intellect up there. I understand what the verse is saying. So you say, oh wow, I'm growing in grace. But Jesus is saying here, and if you look at it, to take in Jesus as food or thirst is taking into the soul, not into the mind. You see, the whole thing Jesus is showing us here is that life with Jesus Christ is a life that is a life that is spiritual. We don't, Jesus know, and all follow him would know, he was telling them to come now, grab my arm and take a bite out of it. They know that, but they knew he was saying something that they would have to receive from him. And he's letting them know it is that spiritual life that is in Jesus Christ. We cannot get it, he's saying here, unless we partake of him, unless we come to Jesus and Jesus alone. Oh, dear people, there are many who go around and they may be Christians and maybe kind of slow in their growth because now they're putting it all on. And here is the sad part about it, all on doctrinal issues and not on Christ. It's Christ that the Bible brings to us. Christ is what the Bible presents to us. It is him and what he's done. And it's him who has brought us into life by his death. And so therefore we must always look to Jesus Christ. Yes, when we open our Bibles and we read it, we must see Jesus here. I remember years ago and hearing some of the preachers on the radio, and they're talking, and they said something to a phrase like this: everywhere I look, even in the Old Testament, I see Jesus. And I'm saying to myself, thinking about the words of Christ and who he is alone, how do you see that back there? Until I got saved. Until I really realized, I see Jesus all over. I see him. It's him being presented to us. It's him, the one that you and I must lay hold of. It's him, the one that we find our growth and our spiritual growth in. It's he is the one we find our satisfaction is. When we sing our hymns, our hearts are lifted up. Why? Not because we know the song. You know, we sing from since we were a child in Sunday school. But no, because it's in our hearts. And we sing from the heart of Christ. Sing to him because we know what he is, what he's done for us, and how he has saved us. And we know it all goes back. And we see the bread of life. We understand as we read on, Jesus is saying here, he's come down to give his life for us. And that giving of his life is really in death. He had to die for us. You and I must see something like this. And when he says he is the bread of life and he's the one, he's died and he's come out of the grave, we see new life was given to him. He controlled everything. He was the one, even on the cross, he knew that he was the one who would come off that cross because he knew what he had to do. And that is to die for the people that the Father had given him. And so he tells us now, he looks at each and every one of us, I am the life you need to take into yourself right now. Oh, don't look to all the other things and put them as paramount, even in the scripture. Look to Christ, because even those things that we may think and may sound doctrinally paramount, they're nothing without Christ. And this is what he says and how he knows, how he indicates to us. He's saying again that our lives must be spiritually connected to him. That takes away the idea of just religion. Takes away the idea of just going to church. We go to Christ. And be a brother, every time you come to hear on the Lord's Day, it should be that you're coming here to meet with Christ. Because that's the whole purpose. That's what we're doing. We sing these hymns. What are they about? They're about Jesus Christ. And each time we're doing that, we're taking in food. We're eating more of Christ in our soul. We'll be given to get more and more like Christ, understanding. Souls are being fed. Oh, dear brethren, this first I am of the Lord Jesus Christ mentions that everything we need to live the Christian life comes from him and him alone. And our spiritual growth depends upon our fellowship with him. Think to yourself, dear brethren, right now, who am I attached to? Why am I here this morning? Is it because I made some kind of contract that I would join a church and come? Or I come to this church because we here come to Christ Jesus? He is the one who sets apart this day, this first day of the week. He is the one who said what should be done. And why are we here? Is it just to fill up a little time and then go about our business? Or are we coming to feed on Christ? Oh, in how many ways do we feed on Christ when we come to our service? The reading of Scripture. The singing of the hymns. The hymns we sing, they are so powerful. They fill our souls with the reality of Christ and who He is. The preaching of the Word. And all that is done, it all brings it to us. It should bring us to the place where, yes, we're sitting. We're sitting here individually, but each one of us individually should see ourselves connected more and more to Jesus Christ. And another thing, even in this context here, Jesus is saying that it is His church that feeds upon Him. And so in a sense, all of us together as one is still the one who Jesus says He gave His life for. And you and I should do that and understand there is spiritual growth, and that spiritual growth depends upon our fellowship with Christ. Therefore, go to Him daily, dear brethren. Go to Him. Look to Him. Ask Him all your needs. Lay out everything that you have on your heart and mind before Him. Tell Him your most intimate feelings, how you think you've been wronged or what's happened to it. Go to Him and tell Him what you think He should have. And go to Him and lay everything before Him. He'll straighten you out. He'll let us know, even if you're crying about this particular thing, that had nothing to do with your spiritual life. Learn to let it go. And He'll point us to what we need to focus on. Oh, what should we do? Go to Him daily, as I mentioned. Have your set times of Bible reading and devotion. And do not skip your prayer time, dear brother. It truly is food for the soul. When you speak into Christ in prayer, you are really speaking to Him. And we have to understand, even the prayers you heard this morning, our blessed Savior received that prayer. And He answers that prayer for us. How He answers it individually to each one of us may be different. But He answers it two ways. He answered as a church body together here, given what you need, He knows. And as individually what you need, He's answering that prayer. Don't think that one single thing is gone unnoticed by Christ. Remember what Christ said, hungering and thirsting. Well, those are needs, aren't they? Have you ever hungered for Christ? Have you ever hungered for a true, deeper relationship with Christ, with God? You're thirsting. You have a dryness in your soul. And you say, oh, Lord, I need to do something right now. And maybe you go on and pick up your Bible and you start reading. Before you know it, you're in some kind of little, having a little hymn coming off. And you're just praising God there. Know what you did then? You feasted on Christ at that time. And brethren, that's what needs to happen. And this is what Jesus is telling us. Don't say, I'm a Christian, I'm a church member, you know, I got it made, I'm a pastor, you know, all right. No, I'm a needy sinner, saved by grace, and I need to feast upon Christ. Every time I see Him, every time I think of it, I should do that, I should come. Now, dear people, there may be some in this place hearing this sermon that are not sure where they stand concerning salvation. You may be here now. You don't know. Do you know anything about the deep yearning of your soul for Jesus? I would ask that. If so, there may be supplies of life, those who truly, truly trust in Him. God may be doing something at that time. God may be working on you. And if you do sense something like that, go to Jesus and plead for mercy and forgiveness. And ask Him to feed you right now. That's the way life comes. I am the bread of life, He says. Ask for that bread. Ask Him to give it to you. Ask Him to give it. And even if the thirst in your throat which we know is not real thirst, but in your heart there is a thirst. And that thirst needs to be quenched only by Christ Jesus himself. Maybe you are just gaining some interest in spiritual matters. And I hope you will think about these words of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. Now this is his first I am. And he starts with that first one. You see him as you read him in the scripture. They go down and they seem to compound. And what it does at this point, it lets us know, first of all, those who come to Christ need their soul filled. They need their soul filled with the food and drink that come from Christ alone. And Christ makes it clear that is his body. And what do? We are in Christ Jesus, the scriptures tell us. He's in us. And so therefore, he supplies to us what we need. And dear people, oh, no matter what you may be going through, don't leave off going to Christ. Look at these I ams, and this first one especially, and say, he says, anyone that comes to me will never hunger and never thirst. I am the bread of life. Let us pray. Oh, blessed God in heaven, we thank you for your kindness and your mercy and your grace. Lord, even the simplicity of this little words of the Lord Jesus Christ has some deep teaching in it. And we pray that you would help us in our hearts to be able to, as it were, to start to understand what you are saying to us. Help us, O Lord God, for those of us who are on the way and know and understand this and living by this very truth here. Help us to even come closer and closer to you. Feed our souls, Lord Jesus, with that heavenly bread, which is you yourself, O Lord. Quench our thirst and our yearning for more of you. And give us, O God, what we need. Let this group here leave this place this morning, longing for more of Christ in their lives. Show them, O Lord, that that's the way they're going to live. That's the true blessing that you've given. And Lord, we ask you to do this immensely among all that's here. And we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Amen.